You're listening to Radio Kol HaNishama, your only Jewish radio station in Southern California. Please visit us on the web at www.ateretisrael.org.
Reunion took place. The brothers finally met with Yosef, and Yosef found his brothers after 22 years. So now, before he sent them back, he gives them a sorati. What type of sorati he gave them? Say? So yeah, wagons to bring their father back. I'm sorry. Yeah, chalifot. It says that he gave them chalifot. And how was the chalifot was given, the clothing, the special clothing was given to them? So to everyone it says that he gave one type of clothing. And then
he gave his brother new, and the Benjamin gave him five used ones.
Okay. So now, there's an interesting point, if you have noticed, it says in the Pasuk, the way Chalifot, the way you write it, when it mentions that he gave clothing to his brothers, it's fully written. So now, for Binyamin, the Chalifot, or Khalifa, the Vav is missing. It's not completely pronounced. So for them, it's written with a Vav, and for Binyamin, it's written without a Vav. So now here, one lesson that they learned, that he gave five sets to Binyamin, and to the rest gave one. So that's a very puzzling thing, that for Yosef to do such a thing. Why? Why he shouldn't do it? Right. Actually, for him, being going through all these troubles and hardship was because his father, the Kabbalah of Shalom, gave him the Ketonet Pasim, and everybody became jealous. So now he's doing it again.
One
explanation here is, as we explained, the reason that one is written fully and one is not completely written by missing the Vav, the value was the same. That's one idea. When Yosef HaSadik had the intention. No, we get to that. No, we're still in the last subject. Why he discriminated?
The intention was to recreate what they went through in order for them to make the tikkun and see how they react if they don't do the same.
He was testing the brothers.
It's not testing. It was to make them redo the avera that they do and see if they don't do it again. If they don't do it, they will make the tikkun and they will...
Right, so he was examining the brothers that the same way that they were jealous as Yosef, because the father he kind of gave a greater importance compared to the other brothers, so they became jealous. So now he wanted to see that are they going to do the same thing or not. Well, I don't know that Yosef knew about the children of Binyamin or not. Mm-hmm. Because they just met. No, they hugged one another, they kissed one another, they cried on each other's neck. So now, here, so one thing, he wanted to see how they react. Because the same way that all this trouble came about because they felt that their father loves them more, and they became jealous, so they wanted to see if they're going to do the same thing or not. And actually, it's very interesting. Last week, when they sat together, also they drank. drank wine. Yeah. It's in L'chaim. But you see, for 22 years, they didn't drink. So why did they drink?
Because they wanted to keep the soul.
Keep the soul.
They promised not to drink wine in the center of the truth, so they didn't want to drink.
I know, but they broke their commitment. Because actually, they... Right, but here we see Yosef is celebrating because he found his brothers, right? But we see the brothers, why should they drink? So now it's the same matter that actually when they notice that Binyamin is more attention, right? So now they celebrate it because they're not jealous. So now here, one lesson that we learn, that any time that you're able to be happy for another Yehudi, it's a celebration. Because you know what the onus of the being jealous is? You know, who is that jealous? What's the onus he receives? Jealousy is the onus of jealousy. To be jealous, it's onus by itself. Because nothing worse than being jealous. Nothing. You lose your sleep, you're not healthy, you cannot think. You're gone, you're done. Jealousy is the worst of, to be jealous is the worst, it's a punish after being jealous. So now here, as Kala Kedosh mentioned, so now there's a prediction that Yosef sees, that it's just five sets of clothing to Binyamin. Why? Because he realized that later on, Binyamin has a potential for another five sets of clothing. Who is he? Mordechai HaTzaddik. It says in the Megillah, Bezat Hashem soon, we're going to have everybody, you know, come out of the house and listen to Megillah, Bezat Hashem, Bet Knesset, Bezat Hashem. Yeah. So they, it says Big Day, Hur, and so on. It's a five description of the clothing that he was received. So here we see Binyamin actually will have a savior named Mordechai, the same way that Yosef gave the five sets of clothing to Binyamin. Now, later on, Mordechai, that is the savior of Israel, is going to receive five sets of clothing. So as he asked, why Binyamin was honored to have such a redeemer that is going to come out of him? Why not Shimon, Levi, Yehuda?
He was not part of selling his brother too. He didn't bow to
Esau. Ah, very nice. He didn't bow to Esau, yeah.
He wasn't born.
He wasn't born. So if you're not born, so did you do a big deal? Yeah, you have a point. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, you're lucky because you're not born, and then you don't bow down to Esau. Yeah, that's one point. But he didn't make any effort. It says, Mordechai lo yichra velo yishtachaveh. It doesn't say, Mordechai lo yikara. Lo yichra, never. You see, Binyamin, you know, it's very tough. You know, you cannot play around with Binyamin. He's very, very tough. You have to be careful.
Binyamin also inherited the very holy section of
Beit HaMikdash. Yes, that's true. Yeah. What was the children, the name of the children of Binyamin? It's a very interesting name, you know, you remember?
Right,
Bela, Vecher, Ashben, Gera, Naaman, Echi, Varosh, Mupim, Vechupim, Va'ar. It's a very beautiful names, very, very unique names. Why he named his children such a name? Ah, so now every name that he gave, That was a reminder, like Bela, Nivla ben Haumot. You know where it is. Chupim, I didn't see his chupa. So that means he has 10 children. Every time, you know what the feeling he gives you? Every time you call one of your children's name, he reminds you of your brother. Can you live like this, you know?
He didn't want to forget his brother.
That means he's exactly, right. It's not like, you know, you name your kid, you name him Yosef. Fine, so Yosef, but it's not that. Everything that he could imagine, that what a trouble that he is involved with, I mean, he didn't really know, but what he's imagining, every child is a special hardship that he imagines that his brother is going through, he went through. What kind of life is this? Mupim, Chupim, Bela, Naaman, Echi, Rosh, was my Rosh. You know, Naaman, he was so naim, so beautiful.
Israel is in war. You cannot be happy. You cannot celebrate. You have to mourn with them.
Yeah, that's actually as a nationwide, as we see, like there are some type of laws. It depends. But here, we're talking about a brother. But there's no such a halakha, you know, that you put yourself through such a pain. Why? Because you don't see your brother? Well, what does it say such a thing? You follow?
Who says it was going to be a painful?
It is painful. It's not painful?
No.
22 years, you keep going through the sorrow and you keep reminding yourself. Why you name him in such a way? Because you miss him.
Yes.
So when you miss somebody, that means you're in pain.
Yes. Why? When you miss someone, does it mean no pain? You miss
no.
You miss someone.
Missing means you like to have him here.
So
you wouldn't miss him.
You know he's in a good place and you miss him.
Do you know?
Oh,
you know
it's a good place. That's a good place.
No, he would not name his children in such a name if he knows he's okay. It's a very, very, very sad memory that he keeps repeating to himself. How you can go through on a daily life and keep remembering that, you know, he had such a dear brother and he's, you know, gone. You know, I don't know what happened to him. And you keep, you know, reminding yourself. So now here, actually, we see an interesting thing. That the outcome of having such a care for somebody, so then the result here is, later on you see a single person can save millions of people. You know, what an unbelievable message here it is, that when you care, not that, you know, say, ay, 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 oh, yo, no. They really care that to do something and your hands are short. You're not able to do it.
And perhaps that's why also,
sorry?
All the time, anything you do, you remember Yerushalayim.
Exactly, yeah.
And maybe
yeah, that's the whole point. That's the whole point that we have an interesting thing.
Anything we choose that, always remember.
Yeah, So that's the key point. Why? Because the whole concept here is, like, let's say you find money outside, you go outside, you find a bundle of money, $100 bills.
Amen.
Don't forget the maaser. Yeah. So what are you going to do with the money?
You put it in the pocket. No,
halachically, is it permitted?
Yeah, you have to find it. If you can find the owner, you have to try to do
that. So now we have a ruling on this matter. Anything that has some type of sign,
right.
Yeah, that the owner,
even if there is a sign, if there is only going wrong, it's yours.
No, it depends. It depends. No, but the general rule here is that what's the sign is going to do? What's the sign going to do? What does it matter? It has a sign. It doesn't have a sign. What does it matter?
I found money.
The
sign is that the person has a hope that I'm
going to
find it, because I'm
going to
go.
Ah,
Hasakibar,
I
also.
Beautiful.
Now, if you found a wallet, person in the desert, it's the name of the person is in the desert, you can take the wallet in the middle.
No, there's no such a thing.
Yeah, no, this is
Allah. No, it's not Allah. No. So as No.
If you found a wallet in the desert with the ID inside, it's yours.
No, it's not. So So the halakha here is that as it was mentioned, so the halakha requires that you're obligated, anything that has a sign, you have to do anything, no matter what it is, that to get it back to the owner. Either, you know, even you have to keep it with you, as Gemara brings this story, that, you know, you have to keep it with you till even Eliyahu Nabi will come, and then you give it back to him. Why? Because as long as he has a sign, that means the one that lost it is not going to lose hope. He's not going to lose hope. But if you find a bundle of the money, that the money means there's no sign, because all the $100 are the same. There's no signature on it as far as the who is it belong to.
The
money, as long as it has a sign, so you have an obligation to return it. So now when we remind ourselves, as it was mentioned, like in Ar Tefilot, B'Kiyat HaMazon, and so on, to the Beit HaMikdash, B'Yerushalayim, so that means as long as we don't lose hope, so that means it's going to come back. But as soon as we forget about it, it says, you know, there's no sign. You lost hope. So now here, say, that's a beautiful point. That actually they ask the brothers, what did they come up with that to take the nice clothing, the ketonet pasim, that Yaakov made for Yosef, to dip it in the blood and bring it for... Where did he come with such an idea? What were they trying to do? What did it do for the whole plan they had?
But the blood looks like...
Fine, but even though they wouldn't bring it, so he's gone. 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month. So then...
So he doesn't lose the hope that look for him.
So now here the brothers know, as long as Yaakov has hope, Yaakov Avinu Shalom, with his tefillah, he can bring back Yosef even from China. But when he loses hope, so then, that's it. So what we're trying to do, by dipping the ketonet pasim in the blood, and bring it to Yaakov, then he will lose hope. So now here, back to Binyamin at Tzadik. Binyamin, actually, by naming his kid after his brother, that's what exactly caused that Yosef will be found. Not only that, so Yosef is saying that what you did for me, you're going to do for millions of people later on. The same way that you didn't forget about me, and then I was revealed to you in the same aspect. Somebody from your descendant is going to rise, Mordechai HaTzadik, and he's going to save Kol Am Yisrael. But why? He didn't disconnect. He didn't forget. And that's what exactly the whole point here is. That as long as Yehudi is attached, he doesn't forget, you know, and he doesn't lose hope, and keep the sign. So then Yeshua is going to come. But Chas v'Shalom, you become hopeless. And you know, it's not going to happen. Forget it. You know, I did enough. How much I have to do? Forget it. I'm tired. So then Chas v'Shalom, then you disconnect yourself. And here, Binyamin Sadiq, through, you know, 22 years, you know what it is? Every kid reminds his brother. Every kid that he's called, He reminds him what Yosef is going through. And that's what exactly we see, how the reunion took place. Hashem is Akeno, the Bezat Hashem. All these reminders that we go through every day, Bezat Hashem, will be Megashem, will be in practicality, Bezat Hashem. Yerushalayim Tibanevi Tikonen, Bezat Hashem. When he's scared, we have to go and say there. And Semachot, the Kolam Yisrael, the Karov. Amen.
You're listening to Radio Kol HaNishama, your only Jewish radio station in Southern California. Please visit us on the web at www.ateretisrael.org.